All right, we're going to continue the lesson we started last week that we had titled Godliness Exercises. I'm going to review quickly through what we said last week and then continue with the lesson. The theme for the summer is in the verse 1 Timothy 4:7, where the Bible is continuing where Paul is continuing some exhortation. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So we're taking that last phrase, what he should do, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, and working through that idea. First off, we're going to explain that as we started last week, and then we'll begin looking at some exercises, some biblical exercises, some godliness exercises that the Bible gives us. So exercising, discipline, practice, those things seem to be no fun, drudgery, especially if there's no direction to them. We gave the illustration of a musician, a young child who's practicing an instrument, and then the fanciful thought of an angel showing him what could be. But the same is true for us. If we don't know where God is taking us or what God wants us to be, we could think about any of the things that we're going to talk about through the summer as just something that's really hard to do, that I don't feel like doing, and there's no reason for it. But God has determined that we would become conformed to the image of His Son. And so we should see that and understand that part of the process of being conformed to the image of His Son is through spiritual disciplines or God exercises toward godliness. Until Christ returns, he expects us to be working, we would say, toward that. It's not something that just happens. And so we'll be talking about them this summer. What are spiritual disciplines, or what are godliness exercises? Some are corporate, done as a group. The ones we'll be looking at are personal. So they could be personal and corporate. And one is not more important than the other. Personal is not more important than corporate. We might be inclined toward one over the other, but we should make ourselves, discipline ourselves to practice all of them. They are activities, not attitudes. So the disciplines, the exercises that we're going to talk about are things that we do, but and they're not the end. But the way to what we want to do, the way to what we want to become is through doing. We will limit our list to biblical exercises. We talked about how somebody might say, well, I grow in my spirituality by hiking through the woods or this or that. But the Bible gives us, and you might be able to actually practice biblical disciplines while you hike through the woods, but there are biblical activities that, and we're going to limit our list to those. And since they're in the Bible, we noted that they are all that's necessary. If it's in the Bible, and we've found the ones that are in the Bible, practicing those, exercising ourselves in those, is what we need to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and those, the Scriptures, are what's profitable. Something else might benefit us spiritually, but it's not necessary. If it was necessary, God would have put it in the Bible. We noted that they grow out of the gospel. They're not separated from the gospel. It's not like we get saved and then we leave behind everything that happened in salvation and become a super Christian by exercising these things. The life that we have in Christ isn't separated from the life we received in Christ. The gospel doesn't just save us, it changes everything about our lives. And then we finish by saying that these exercises, these spiritual disciplines, are a means. That means they're the way toward something. They're not the end. It's not our purpose in life only to do the things that we'll be talking about. And so we're going to expand upon that right now. There is very little value, going back to that music student, there's very little value in practicing scales or something like that apart from the purpose of playing. I try to encourage all my students to do their scales, do their exercises. As an older musician, I see tremendous value in them. But the young, immature musician doesn't want to work on that. They just want to play the tunes. They want to have fun. Okay? But you can't play the tunes. You can't play what you want to if you haven't done the work. And I think everyone in here understands that to one extent or another in some field of thought. And the same is true with spiritual disciplines, with exercises toward godliness. If we don't have a purpose for those things, there isn't much value. Colossians 2:20 says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, such as touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using?" So Paul is saying, if you're not working toward godliness, why do you do all these things? If you're just doing them because they make you feel spiritual, they indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of flesh. Paul tells us, though, in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So being godly is what's profitable. The spiritual disciplines or exercises are unto godliness, and that's what makes them profitable. And that's why we should exercise ourselves unto godliness. So these things that we'll be exploring through the summer, they are the God-given means we are to use in the Spirit-filled pursuit of godliness. If we want to be godly, we have to do these things. We listed them last week, but we'll get into them in particular through the summer. But we have to do them. We can't say, well, I have my own path to godliness. We must be disciplined. It's always been so. God's people, godly people, are disciplined people, and it's always been that way. There's no special anointing. It's not like God just spreads drops of spirituality on people. Some people have more fruitfulness. God may bless a pastor in a certain area with a much larger church and more people that respond to his ministry than a pastor in another place, but that fruitfulness should not be confused with spirituality or godliness. None are more spiritual just because of a certain extra blessing. Godliness comes through discipline. Godliness comes from exercising. So God does use other means for changing us. There's primarily three. One of the ways God uses to change us, or one of the catalysts, we might say, are people. Remember, Proverbs says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So friends, neighbors, pastors, parents, children, spouses, co-workers, customers, teachers, God can send people into our lives, and those people can help us toward godliness. Another thing that God uses to change us are circumstances. Romans 8:28 says, "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So something comes into our life and it's uncomfortable. We should say, how is God using this? It's in my life for good. And so circumstances can be brought into our lives, whether it's financial pressures, some physical conditions, something, a work situation. Who knows what the circumstance is? It might even be the weather. But these circumstances are in our lives, and they God uses those things to help us grow toward godliness. But then the third way is exercising toward godliness, or godliness exercises, or the spiritual disciplines. And these are different. Okay, so in these, God works from the inside out. From the others, people are outside of us, and they exert an influence or an activity on us. Circumstances are outside of us, and we have to respond to those things. But with spiritual disciplines, they work on us from the inside out. And God also grants us a measure of choice, right, regarding our involvement with them. We don't have much choice over the people that come into our lives, that God allows into our lives, or the circumstances. But we can decide whether we will read the Bible today or not, or whether we will practice some other spiritual discipline. We do recognize that the most iron-willed, self-disciplined person will not automatically be holy. Growth in holiness is a gift from God. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless." Hebrews 2:11, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." So God does finally the sanctification, the bringing us to holiness. But on the other hand, we must do something to further the process. We don't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Imagine I'm sitting on my couch, or you're sitting on your couch. You know, it's not like some spirit, some ghost just lifts you up, sets you down in the chair next to, by your desk, takes your hands, makes you choose the Bible, opens it up, forces your eyes open, and makes your eyes go over the words of Scripture. God doesn't make us do those things. We have to do them. God can put inside of us a desire for God's word, but just having a desire for God's word is not studying it or memorizing it or meditating upon it or even just reading it. There's more to bringing the Bible into our lives than wanting it. So Paul said to the Colossians, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." So here's a verse, Colossians 1:21. "I labor, striving, but I do it according to his working that works in me mightily." So God is working in me mightily. I'm striving. I'm agonizing. There's two parts to that. It happens with both, when both are working. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." But of course, Paul was weary after doing the work. He had to do it for sure. Godliness exercises, we're calling them a means. They are a way that we can place ourselves before God for him to work in us. The word exercise, going back to 1 Timothy 4:7, the word exercise is translated from the word gymnasia, which is where we get our word gymnasium or gymnastics, right? So it's a sweaty word, if we could put it that way. Exercise. It's not just a little. It's a word that gives us the idea of work. So to go to your favorite spot for prayer is like going to a gym and using a weight machine or any other thing. It is work sometimes. Often, most of the time. Let's think about Zacchaeus. You know, he's famous, right? He was the wee little man. We've heard in the last 3 or 4 months, we've heard him used a couple times for examples. But he wanted to see Jesus. He had a desire, right? He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't. So he had to do something. He had to work his way and get himself into a place, into the path where Jesus was going, right? He ran ahead. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, okay? And he wanted to know more about Jesus. I think, as I've considered, I think he was sitting there hoping that Jesus wouldn't see him, but that Jesus would pause in the shade of the tree and give another lesson. Because Jesus gave lots of lessons along the road. If you think about it, I mean, he didn't travel very quickly. Think about the story of Lazarus. Martha goes and sees Jesus, runs back, tells Mary that Jesus wants... Mary comes back, and they're still in the same spot. What was he doing there? He was probably teaching. So I think Zacchaeus wanted to understand more about Jesus. Who is this guy? What's he saying? And of course, but he was in the place where he could meet Jesus. He was in the place, maybe in his mind, he was in a place where he could just be close to Jesus, but then Jesus actually met him, called his name, and called him home, and Zacchaeus was saved. And we can think about spiritual disciplines, exercises toward godliness, in kind of the same way. We put ourselves in the place that Jesus is going. Jesus, the Lord, still travels in certain paths that he's revealed in Scripture. And when we put ourselves on those paths, we will find that he's willing to have mercy on us and communion with us. And in the course of time, being with him there in the midst of exercising, we will be transformed by him from one level of Christ-likeness to another. We with open face, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We can't expect growth without ever being in the path that the Lord travels. We can't expect to be close to the Lord more often without ever being on the path that the Lord travels. A football coach once said, "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." And this was a professional football coach. So even professional, even men, they want to be Super Bowl champions. But the coach is there to make them do what they don't want to do in order to help them toward being a champion. And it's very much the same way with us. But Christians are called to make themselves do something they would not naturally do. These exercises toward godliness in order to become what we've always wanted to be, like Christ. Exercise, 1 Timothy 4:7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We should note, so that's kind of just the explanation, that these are means, they're not the end, they're the means, they're the way to get to godliness. But as we've ended that brings us to this next point: God expects them. The Lord expects these. It's not like, okay, well, I'm just going to be fat and flabby all my life. Somebody else can do the exercises. I'm going to be spiritually fat and flabby. I'll get to heaven. God expects us to work, to practice these exercises, to have this discipline. The word exercise, that is, that comes from that gymnasia word, it's an imperative. It's a command. So it's plain that this is a command of God, not just a suggestion. Holiness is not an option for us. 1 Peter 1:15, remember it says, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if there is a means to holiness, that's spelled out in Scripture, not in just a 3x5 card, but if we can see through Scripture, there's things that God wants us to do, and these things will bring us toward holiness, and we're supposed to be holy, then the means to holiness is not optional either. It takes discipline. Discipline in the sense that we actually do think of. Remember when Jesus said to them all in Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." What's the next word? Do you remember? Daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. You don't follow someone accidentally. Now we have, right? We've been going along and, "Whoa, there's that guy again." Are you following me? Okay. Accidentally, you can follow somebody. Sure, you can, but not for long. Right? And you might follow the Lord accidentally without, not on purpose for a very short amount of time. But you don't do it accidentally for long. You must make yourself stay after him and follow Christ in this. Both following Christ and following his example. He modeled these exercises that we'll be talking about. He applied his heart to discipline. You say, "Well, but he was God." Well, we're supposed to follow him. If we're going to be Christ-like, we have to live like Christ did himself. So we know how to exercise. We know what it takes to exercise, playing an instrument. Some of you don't play them, but you understand the idea. Some of us do play. The piano player doesn't just sit down there and, beautiful notes come out of their fingers through the keyboard. Improving our athletic skill. In my dreams, I'm really good. But it takes more than dreaming. Advancing our career through education. Somebody might be working a certain position and they think, I can be better if I go to school. Who goes to school to get better? Anybody, right? If I put myself through reading books and studying and trying to remember and taking quizzes and tests, I'll be better. Well, that's hard in order to be better. But we understand that in this mundane world, in this physical realm, but we will give up easily in the spiritual realm. We love God dearly. We could participate in lots of church activities and ministries, but we'll give up after a short time of exercising godliness. We've got a plan to read the Bible through in a year, and we fall off that plan. We've got a plan. We're going to pray every day for name the amount of time. And then it gets hard. I'm going to memorize 2 Timothy chapter 3. Whatever the exercise is, we'll easily drop off of that. And I think as humans, many times people drop off of those physical activities too, don't they? So we've dabbled in a lot, but disciplined ourselves toward nothing. So, as we finish up, a couple things to remember. There's a danger in neglecting these exercises. There's a danger. This is not just a fun thing that we're going to talk about for the summer. There's danger. If you neglect the spiritual disciplines, if you neglect exercising toward godliness, you may miss God forever. Now, not because you have to do these things in order to see God, not because you have to do these things in order to earn a place in heaven, but because those that do these things, these things characterize those who will see God. If you've been saved by God, His Spirit lives inside you, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, loves to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit loves to memorize the Bible. Say, He wrote the Bible, but the Holy Spirit loves to be in you while you're memorizing the Bible. The Holy Spirit loves to pray. The Holy Spirit loves to do all these things. And so if you don't have some desire in you and you don't nurture that desire, you may not have the Holy Spirit within you. But on the other hand, so it might be that you miss God forever, but for probably most of us in here, we understand that. We do have a desire, and we're seeking to learn more. So we will bear very little fruit that will remain if we don't exercise ourselves toward godliness. There we go. I remember in literature class in high school, we had literature very little when I was in high school. But I remember once we read this poem, and it was probably, if I think of literature and I think of poetry, I think of this poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Stephen Taylor Coleridge. And I was really, I've always thought, that, man, that was really, it's just a really neat poem. I don't know if you've ever, I haven't read it, ever read Kubla Khan. But both of those poems written by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. But it's interesting to note that Coleridge was the supreme tragedy of indiscipline. I'm quoting, "Never did so great a mind produce so little. He left Cambridge University to join the army, but he left the army because, in spite of all his erudition, he could not rub down a horse. He returned to Oxford and left without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, which lived for only 10 issues and then died. It has been said of him, he lost himself in visions of work to be done that always remained to be done. Coleridge had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. In his head and in his mind, he had all kinds of books, as he said himself, completed except for transcription. I am on the eve, he says, of sending to the press 2 octavo volumes, but the books were never composed outside of his mind because he would not face the discipline of sitting down to write them out. So it takes discipline. We can think about how we want to be Christ-like all our lives, but at some point we have to just say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put something in place that helps me do it. The presence, every one of us has a spiritual gift, but just the presence of gift doesn't guarantee fruitfulness. We must be develop discipline. There's freedom in discipline. Oh, I got to do this and I got to do this. But the person who practices like crazy, works hard, can play lots of different things. The person who doesn't practice, doesn't work hard, can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, maybe. Same thing with us spiritually. Person who doesn't work at becoming godly is not strong spiritually. God wants us all to enjoy these disciplines. It's not like the work has to be drudgery. You've all worked at something very hard for a long time, and then somebody said, you know, we've been doing this for 3.5 hours, and you think, wow, how did that happen? You enjoyed it. If we're following Christ, we can have the joy that Christ wasn't a drudgery for him to do the things that we're going to be looking at, and we need to seek to have that same attitude toward these exercises. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And next week we'll begin the first one, and that is bringing the Bible into our lives. Bible intake, we'll call it. There's many, many different ways to do that, and we'll start looking at those next week. Let's pray.